kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
Praise God. Well, we've been talking over the last few weeks, haven't we, about what sort of harvest God is looking for. If you remember, we were discussing, will God be able to reap a harvest from me? And I think this is fairly appropriate considering we are in the time of harvest. Some now are celebrating harvest festivals. It's a time of bringing in into the store what has been grown through the summer periods. I want to continue this theme, but I'm calling our teaching today, Lord of the Harvest, Lord of the Harvest. And I'm basing this from Matthew chapter 9. We're primarily looking at verse 38, but I want to lead into this as to why the Lord said what he did here. Matthew chapter 9, and we'll take it from verse 35. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep, having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." I think it's important to read those few verses before we actually get into what the Lord is saying here. And as I said, I'm calling this Lord of the Harvest. You see, missionary and evangelism is or should be in the hands of Almighty God. And this is the key to its power. And Christians, missionaries, ministers, they all want the power of God. We soon become aware when we are saved that we can do nothing without him. In fact, most of us have tried and we've fallen flat on our faces to get up, to have a go again, and to fall again on our faces. And soon we begin to learn a very dear lesson, an important lesson, that we can do nothing without the power of God. Now, when I speak of the power of God, I'm also speaking about God's presence. Because where God's presence is, his love, his mercy, his grace, there is also the power of God. And like all of these blessings, we have to be trained. It takes a lifetime, it takes a daily walk each day with the Lord to enter into these blessings and experiences with Almighty God. And some missionaries, evangelism, some get it and some don't. And so because they don't have the power of God on their behalf, they begin to substitute. And that substitution is turning to the arm of the flesh for man to try and create this power and this blessing. And you can't do it. The difference between those two is that it's just temporal. what man tries to build and do, but what God does, there is always an eternal principle attached to it. And of course, it's an abundant blessing. And we know, sadly, that evangelism, a lot of it has really gone off the scale, to say the least. But we live in the times of restoration, and we desire to learn God's ways. And most of those ways are where we get out of the way and let God be God, because he makes no mistakes. And for that to be achieved and done, you have to walk totally by faith and trust him. Now, we've already led up to verses 35 to 37, where he goes about preaching and teaching the kingdom of God. We see he's healing diseases and sicknesses, and there are many, many people following him. And he sees this multitude, and here we see the compassion and mercy of God, because he sees all of these people, they're scattered. They don't really have a shepherd. They don't really know where they're going. They have needs, and they're desperate for those needs, but there's no divine order. And that's what he's concerned about. And he says they're like sheep, but they have no shepherd. And a lot of Christians today in contemporary Christianity, they don't really have the shepherds. And this is why they go from ministry to ministry, church to church, searching here, searching there. They are not prepared to come under God's divine order and protection. God has set an order in the church. He's set an order in ministry. He's provided all of these, and all of these are not in any way to lord it over the flock, but that he's provided and we willingly submit to, and because we allow God to work through this divine order. God is a God of order. The whole universe, this world, functions on a divine order. And there's nothing wrong with that. That seems to be very old-fashioned these days. It seems to breed bondage, but it isn't. Children need to have an order. Children need to have boundaries set for them. They need to learn what is right and what is wrong and what is acceptable and not acceptable. It's the way we're made and created. And so there's nothing wrong with this. And our Lord is simply moved with compassion here, because he sees all of these people with all their needs and so on, but like sheep having no shepherd. And I'm labouring in this because I haven't forgotten the title, Lord of the Harvest. That's what we're talking about. And then he goes on to say, and then he says to his disciples, so he doesn't say it to the whole multitude. He's turning again to those who are called into ministry, those who are called to follow him. Anyone could follow him. All could be disciples, but they've chosen to follow the Lord at this point. And he turns to them and he says this, the harvest truly is plentiful, but there's a problem. There are not enough laborers. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. And so he leads up to why Jesus said this. It's very comforting, isn't it? It reveals that God's blessings are received when a harvest is brought in. And that is why God is Lord of the harvest, because that is what glorifies his name. That is what is brought in and seen. And the church desperately today needs to see this harvest. God wants this harvest. He wants this to glorify his name, and he wants the world and he wants the church to be blessed to see this harvest, which I believe is all part of the greater works before the Lord comes. And sooner or later, this has to be visibly seen. I already said we're now in the time of harvest. We're beginning to see what the land has produced. It's all been brought in. So we're seeing things. It's rather comforting, isn't it, when you go around in the countryside and you see these combine harvesters going up and down and getting in all the wheat and the corn and the rye and everything, getting it into the storehouse. There's something comforting, assuring about it. You think, yes, that's the harvest, that's to feed us for the winter. Well, let's take over this same idea with this harvest that God says he is. He says, I'm Lord of the harvest. We need to see this harvest. And the key to it is verse 38. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. The key is prayer and faith. And this is why you have to have a prayer life. This is why the church has to be a praying church. This is why you have to pray the prayer of faith, believing that when you pray this, God is going to answer these prayers for the glory of God and for the church to be encouraged to see this harvest, because I believe it is desperate to see this. It's so sad that we see a type of harvest so often in these occult churches, those that are in deception, those preaching heresy. They can boast of their huge numbers and outreach. And it's not to say they're all like that. We're not saying that. But the devil is very active. And they see a type of harvest, but it's not the Lord of the harvest. And there is the difference. And the key is prayer, faith, believing. We need to know how to pray here. This is what's so important. You see, the first area is not looking in the natural, because you can be saved. We're saved by God's grace and mercy. We are part of this harvest, but there is so much more to come in. So we're not to be complacent in this, or to just sit back on our laurels. Well, I'm saved, I'm in, I'm on my way to heaven. No, there are many more to follow until the Lord Jesus comes. Now, it's also interesting, who is Lord of this harvest? Who does it belong to? Does it belong to the church? Does it belong to you because you pray and intercede in this? No, it belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Father has given Jesus Christ all authority. He has given him this harvest, the same as the world and everything was created for him. And he desires to share what has been given to him. And he shares it with the sons of God, the overcomers, the church. And he wants to share this harvest as well. But we have to play our part. We don't just sit back and say, oh, well, the Lord's going to provide. He's going to show us all this harvest and everything. No, we are co-workers, co-heirs with him. We work together in this. and the way we're learning to work together, to walk with God side by side in unbroken fellowship, is obedience, is yielding to him. Because he's the only one who can do this. And this is what he's teaching us. And what so the Lord is of the harvest, it belongs to Jesus, so it is there, it's real. God wouldn't give him a harvest if the harvest doesn't exist. It most certainly does. So we can have that well assurance in our hearts that when we pray according to his will with this, there is a harvest. God has given it to his son. It is his blessing, and he wants to share that blessing with us, the church. Let's make no bones about it. But what is it he's asking for? He shows something specific about prayer. He's saying, pray to the Lord of the harvest to what? Send out laborers into his harvest. So it is his harvest. God has given him a seed to reap. And he says, send laborers into not a harvest, his harvest. So in other words, laborers who are anointed, who are sent by God, are sent in the midst of these spiritual fields where there's the harvest. The same as the farmer, he has to go into his field to harvest that which he's planted. And so God says, your prayers, your intercessions will send people anointed into my harvest, not a harvest or the enemy's counterfeit harvest. He says, my harvest. You see, we need to study every word when we read the word of God. We need to look at sentence construction. We need to understand what he's saying. He says, send these laborers, but send them into his harvest. It's a capital H, his, the great I am. And that's the key to praying this. The Lord opened my eyes to this. I'm sure many have seen this, but we can read this and we can miss these little nuggets of gold so quickly. That is the key to this. So we have to pray. You see, Jesus says, the harvest is to convict man of sin. That is what is to be reaped. He is to see he's a sinner. He is separated from the love of God, the mercy of God, the salvation of God. You are to pray on that. You are to send them in your prayers with that authority, the laborers, into his harvest, and his harvest is where they see their sin convicts them and separates them from the love of God. That is what they must see. It's not enough just to talk about the resurrection of Christ, what Christ did when he came on the earth. He was born in a manger and he was a carpenter and he grew up and he went and did good works and everything. All of that has its place. Don't get me wrong. We're talking about what separates man from God, and it is sin. It is rebellion. And that is what we're to pray and intercede on as the Spirit leads. Because his harvest will hear. His harvest will respond. Respond to what? That, Lord, what must I do to be saved? And they will see. To call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. To confess your sin. That is the key to this. So he's not only Lord of the harvest, and the harvest is there, God has given him this harvest, but in our prayers, we're not only to pray for those to be sent, anointed, but through that anointing, the harvest will be convicted of their sin, their rebellion. And so we have to pray for those labourers to be sent. Let's just turn to some scriptures now. I've tried to labour the principles of this. Let's turn more to some scriptures. Let's turn to 2 Thessalonians. Second Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 1. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified just as it is with you. And then he goes on about being delivered from unreasonable, wicked men and so on. So the Apostle Paul, as we know, he asked the church, what we're looking at here, pray for us because they're called, they're labourers in the harvest, that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified just as it is with you. So he asks for blessing on the word, the preaching, that it may have that free course, because he's aware that the word of God is the seed that is planted into the harvest for it to be reaped. And so this is why it is important we pray for the word. I ask exactly the same what the apostle asks for there. I also ask you to pray for this word, that it may go forth, that it may go to the harvest, and that this word that we preach will reap in a harvest, the Lord's harvest. That is what a lot of our praying and intercession should be. If we want to see things change, if we want to see this harvest, we're still so consumed praying our own needs, our own things. And we need to move on from that. It's not to say that we don't pray one for another. It's not to say that we don't pray for those needs. But much of our praying should be about this harvest. That is what is important. We can become so inward looking. We're trying to get holy. We're trying to get right with God. I'm trying to believe. I'm trying to be in faith. I'm trying to be good. I'm trying to overcome today. That's bondage. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The Holy Spirit comes to convict us, and he will tell you in his love and mercy where you're veering off or where things need to be put right in your life. That's what he's come for. So that we can be released from ourselves and concentrate on this harvest. Again, as I spoke in the introduction to this, God is a God of order. And he knows what he's doing. He's in complete control. There are times when God is almost saying, I don't want to hear it anymore. Either you're going to trust me and believe me or not. It's like we've got to pray it about 3 or 4 times just to make sure that God isn't deaf. We've got to grow up, brothers and sisters. Let go of that bondage. God isn't deaf. He knows more about your needs than you do yourself. Trust me, he wants us to start to look and pray on what is important. The enemy will try to keep us so inward looking, and that is unhealthy. All you become is like a holy piece of china put in a cabinet for show. That's not how God has saved us. He saved us for a relationship. He has saved us to walk with Him and to be about our Father's business, the same as Jesus was. Let go of your needs. Let go of all of those things. The enemy tries to hold us in fear and bondage. God is on the throne, and He will provide. All He has said, seek first the kingdom of God, His righteousness, and all these things will be added. He knows. But the enemy likes to keep us all anxious and inward looking. That's why he's delivering us from anxiety, from fear, because the enemy knows that's what keeps us inward looking, and it won't let us see the Lord of the harvest. You have been saved for ministry. You have been saved to proclaim the good news of the gospel. You have been saved to be a light in darkness. You have been saved so that God empowers you and anoints you. But you never will be all the while you are inward looking all the time and wrapped up in things that God doesn't want you wrapped up in. Everything, of course, is a balance. We know that. But the apostle here, look what he's praying for. He's praying that the word will go forth, that doors will open, that we can proclaim this good news of the gospel. That must be the first and foremost thing for this assembly. I cannot do this on my own, and I'm not going to. You play a bigger part in this than even I do. You are more important than I am in this work, in this assembly, and what God wants to do through you. He wants to be your mouthpiece. He wants to anoint those words. He wants to lead your feet and guide them, because the harvest is there, it's out there. What does it say in Ephesians chapter 6? Here's something interesting here. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 19, 20. Ephesians 6, 19 and 20. And for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mysteries of the gospel, for which I'm an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Again, an important prayer for ministers. I need that. I need backing in prayer for that. But I love the context of which he asks this. What is it under? It's about the whole armour of God. We have made much, haven't we, over the last few years in our preaching about the whole armour of God. You know, standing firm, put on the armour of God and everything. Take the helmet of salvation. He says, praying with all prayer, supplications in the Spirit. And then he comes out with this, and for me, that utterance, the gospel may go forth. So our spiritual warfare is for the Lord of the harvest, for souls to be saved. And this is what primarily we do. We war against the powers of darkness for the very purpose that souls will come into the kingdom of God. That must always be the focal point of our spiritual warfare. Our spiritual warfare is that eyes will be open, that they will see the Lord Jesus Christ, that they will come under conviction. They will see that sin separates them from the love of God. If you do not have that in your heart, in spiritual warfare, it ain't going to work. Whatever we're praying against, that is the ultimate gain of it. What is the point of exposing the powers of darkness, bringing it out into the light, unless souls are saved? That is why we get into spiritual warfare. And that is why the apostle brings that in the context of what he's talking about there. And he says, finally, pray for me also with this spiritual warfare, that I may have boldness. Bind the powers of darkness that try to stop my ministry. This is why we have to get into warfare. Do you think the enemy likes this? Do you think the enemy enjoys our meetings and what we share? He most certainly doesn't. So there we've got two clear references. You see, we're not always aware, are we, that people around us are ripe and ready to be picked for the harvest. And that is what's so sad. We know when autumn comes, we know when it's harvest time, because we can see the fields, they're now being harvested and everything, and yet we're so blind to the harvest that is around us, ready to be picked, to be harvested. And do you know what the problem is? Because of self. Self is still in the way. My problems are still in the way. My lifestyle, my blessings, what I want to do is still in the way. And this is where the cross comes in. The cross deals with that selfish life in us so that we are able to see that there is a harvest and they're ready to be picked. You're amongst them. You walk amongst them. You work amongst them. You speak to them. Why is it we're so blind? We're not seeing. Because we're not seeing the Lord of the harvest. And his name is Jesus. How often do we waste God's time by being involved in our own things instead of asking God, Lord, send me, here am I, send me. That's what he wants, because he doesn't force any of us in this. I'm available, I'm waiting on you, here am I, send me, anoint me, empower me. Give me those words. The harvest is there. I've seen them. They're ripe. They're ready to pick. Use me. Many of the great saints of God were used by God through the Bible because they said, here am I, Lord, use me. And look what God did through them. And look what God will do through you. But our hearts and affections are still at times elsewhere. And that is the problem. How about when a trial comes into your life or your family? Are you praying for laborers to be sent to them to heal them? Are you praying for your family, your daughter, your son, your aunt, your uncle, those who are sick? Are you praying that God will send a laborer anointed to them, that they will hear the gospel and repent and turn away? Are you praying that? I don't think we are. And yet, Jesus is Lord of the harvest, or Lord, use me. You could be that laborer. And this is why prayer is so essential. Just watch how God can work through your circumstances, can work through you. It's knowing God's will. But as I bring this to a conclusion, do you know what the greatest motivating force is? It's love. It's the great love chapter. We have to be moved by God's love, His mercy, His grace. We have to feel His heart. We have to be attuned with Him, else it ain't going to work. It's looking out there, the same as Jesus did. He looked and he saw that they were like sheep scattered, but no shepherds. All the needs, they're hurting, they're sick, they're lost. And yes, his compassion moved and reached out to that, but he knew there was more to that. How did he know? Because he is Lord of the harvest. And then he goes right to the key to this. He doesn't try to set up organizations or ministries or whatever. He doesn't try to organize any of this. No, he turns to his church, his disciples, and he says to them, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." We have to be brought back to what Jesus says here. If he said it to the disciples, then he says it to us, and he says it to FGA, and his word doesn't change. Now, how he does that? Well, he's Lord of the harvest. And that is why you have to pray in faith, believing the Lord of the harvest. Because you walk amongst them and they are ready to be picked. They're ripe. It's just our eyes and our hearts are still not open and sensitive enough. Here am I, Lord, use me. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for your word. Lord, help us. Father, we can still be so inward looking, so involved in our thing. But Lord, we've heard your word today. We've heard what you said to the disciples, and it's what you're saying to us today, because your word never changes. Lord, we are willing, we are open to be used, to be sent. You are Lord of the harvest. And they are ripe for picking. They are around us. They are in our families. Lord, in your mercy, send those laborers. Anoint them with the words. Anoint them, Father, that they will see that sin separates them from the love of God. Oh, Lord, I pray you will bless this word. I pray that this word will become a living reality. Because we ask this now in Jesus' mighty name. Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Let him in constancy follow.